Always Mine by Angel C. 585. She sat, practically cowering before him, and he'd never felt so heady. Her red head was bowed, wrists and ankles chafed, and he knew that all Botticelli's enchanted artwork, forever hidden from the Muggle Philistines, couldn't compare with her chained beauty. Yet, it wasn't simply her exquisite face, her lustrous hair, or her graceful curves that moved the cynical poet within him. It was seeing it all bound before him, bent to any of his dark whims, and the slow death of the fire in her eyes that stirred his shadowed soul. He leant down to his prize, the little treat he'd awarded himself for surpassing his personal Muggle torturing quota for the week, and yanked the ties from the plaits on either side of her head, roughly pulling his fingers through the blazing tresses he'd spied in too many corridors that he'd yearned to touch from afar. The fingers of his right hand still twisted in her hair, he brought his left up to caress, however barely, her freckle-dusted neck, knowing that his touch would shame her more than the flimsiness of what had once been her school uniform. The rats in the manor dungeon, he was pleased to see, had done away with almost half of her pleated skirt in the months that she'd been there, been his. He didn't always have her brought up to his rooms, but satisfied with having made it through a particularly grueling week of a hidden war of manipulation, he felt he'd earned some fun. He fancied he could feel the disgust emanating from her in waves, but whether it was directed inwardly or at him, he neither knew nor cared. As long as she felt it, felt something so passionately that was not concerned with her family, or Potter, or anyone other than him, the black hole somewhere within him was temporarily sated. But tonight, the deep void that devoured what had once been a beautiful boy demanded more, and he grasped the chain that ran from the iron ring round her neck to the one connecting her wrists and tugged sharply upwards. The choked gasp she gave was music to his ears, and as she stumbled to her feet, he allowed himself a wicked smirk. He restrained himself from dragging her bodily towards the four-poster, instead leading her gently in a cruel contrast of what was to come. Apart from an open-handed slap or two the night Crab had brought the newly captured Weasley to the manor, Draco had followed the etiquette drilled into him by his mother. Gentlemen didn't hit ladies. It simply wasn't done. His father before him had been a gentleman, and it was from him that Draco had learned that, as in all things, there were certain actions, or circumstances, that fell outside the rules. Certain acts, his father's example had shown, were fully excusable, perhaps even encouraged. And it was on such a firm foundation of morals, however dubious, that Draco Malfoy operated. Her fear of both pain and the unknown was almost palpable as he slid a link in the wrist chain onto a hook fastened to his bedpost, which closed into a ring at a muttered incantation. His captive plaything trembled slightly, affecting Draco more than he would admit aloud. He reached around her, trapping her in a circle of his arms for a moment, before tearing open what was left of her school's shirt. She tried to muffle a gasp, which could only bend from shock, humiliation, or maybe just the cold, and he smirked again as he made his way to the Tasmanian oak chest of drawers, removing his newest toy from the bottom drawer. His mind had immediately jumped to Little Jenny, as he mockingly thought of her, when he'd seen the glorious enchanted cat-o'-nine tails in the shop window in Nocturne Alley. He returned to stand behind her, and very nearly laughed at the obvious difference in height. Her head didn't even come up to his collarbone. Gently, he brushed the tails of the whip over her slightly freckled back, smiling again as a lip was bitten and deep brown eyes squeezed shut in fearful anticipation. Stepping back, he brought the cat down in a fierce lash, rewarded by a pained gasp and nine brilliant scarlet lines. Usually, when women arched their back in his presence, it was in pleasure. And Draco allowed himself the thought that maybe she was enjoying this, being here, being his. He knelt and ran his hot tongue over the marks, licking away her blood, trailing up her neck to the base of her red, red hair. "Did we enjoy that, little Jinny?" he whispered against her neck. "Are you still Potter's brave Gryffindor lion? Or are you becoming the scared little kitten I know hides inside? The one you hid after precious Tom nearly drowned it in darkness." When she didn't rise to the verbal barb, he brought the physical ones down across her back again, changing the angle to create a crisscross pattern that the aesthetic in him rather enjoyed. He was rewarded with a slight whimper, and even better, a salty tear which his tongue caught halfway down her neck, following its trail up to the corner of her closed eye. "That's it, kitten," he whispered, enjoying and amused by her wordless discomfort. "Cry for me. Tell me it hurts. Beg me to stop. Tell the big bad Death Eater how horrid he is, how he shames you so, how there's nothing you want more than to be free of me." Despite her best efforts, the pain and humiliation, the fear at his voice caused her to shake, and the fact that he affected her so thrilled him. A black flame within him flared up, and he caressed the iron cuff around her neck, which tightened at his muttering. Her breathing was reduced to nervous, shallow gasps, and almost without thinking, he brought the whip down for a third strike. Finally, a reaction, a whimper, and he loosened the neck cuff in reward. She tried to sag against the post in relief, but a fist thrust into her hair pulled her violently back, prevented even a moment's comfort. He kept his fist tightly wound in her hair and slowly pulled her head around to face him, kissed her with open eyes so he could exult in the fear written all over her face. In the face of his cruelty and deprivation, her eyes lost focus. Her mind slipped back to haunting memories, and she whispered soundlessly against his lips. He bent his ear next to her mouth and caught the words she all but breathed out. "Worse, worse than my Tom, my Tom." Triumphant, he forcefully released her hair so that the momentum caused her to stagger into his chest. He freed the chain from the post, encircled her arms with his own, and crushed her to him. "Your Tom, my Jinny," he whispered. He pulled her to the floor with him, and she yielded, still recovering from her mental lapse. Laying her on the soft green carpet, he bent over her to press her still joined hands above her head and placed his lips on her ear. "Always mine."